Good afternoon. Like always, I'll start with a quick review of Sunday's performance. Obviously, it was good for us to get our first division win, our first win at home. Hopefully, we can build upon it. We reviewed the tape yesterday as a staff and with the players and went through our normal processes. Obviously, we know that the majority of these games in recent history against the Ravens have come down to the waning moments, usually 3 points, and Sunday was no different. I like the mentality in which our guys went about their business with that understanding. Obviously, there's some things that we can improve upon in reviewing the tape and some things that we identified even going into the game, and some of the consistent things that have been issues for us is really what goes to the top of the heap in terms of our attention and an effort to get better. Offensively, I think you can point to penalties, particularly pre-snap penalties. Oftentimes, things that occur in play, they happen. Usually they're technique-oriented and things of that nature, but pre-snap penalties, we have all the control over. Quite frankly, when you're playing good people, penalties, particularly pre-snap penalties, generally kill drives. We only had about 8 or 9 possessions in that game. Some of those possessions were killed by pre-snap penalties. False starts on the first possession of the game. We had a 3rd and 4 in the red area that went to 3rd and 9, which we didn't convert. We had to settle for a field goal. When you're playing somebody like that, man, you get an opportunity to get 7, you got to get it. Obviously, we're going into a hostile environment this weekend, so we got to control that element of it. We can't be penalized offensively prior to the snap. We got to deal with things such as crowd noise and so forth. So you will be looking at that based on our last performance, also with an eye in terms of what's ahead of us in this next one. Defensively, obviously, we did some good things. We were stiff, particularly when we needed to be in the red area. But their ability to convert third downs was troublesome at times, and particularly down the stretch. That last touchdown drive that they put together was really based on their ability to convert about 4 or 5 critical third downs. Largely, though, they were 50% in the game, and if we're playing good defense, we got to be better than that. Obviously, we had some splash plays in the kicking game. That was positive. Wasn't perfect by any stretch, but really a lot of positive things to build from in that regard. On the injury front, it's typical of a week following most of our Raven matchups. There's a laundry list of injuries, things that we'll deal with that'll dictate or affect how we work some during the portions of this week. I'll run down a quick list of those things. Calvin Beecham's got some right ribs that could limit him the early portions of the week. Lamar Woodley's got a right knee that could limit him. Lawrence Timmons broke his left hand. That's been casted, and he's ready to go. That happened maybe late third, early fourth quarter of the football game. He was able to finish. We fixed it. He has full mobility in all his fingers, but it has been secured with a cast. Brett Kiesel's got left ribs that could limit him. Richard Gordon's got a great toe sprain that makes him questionable. Marcus Gilbert with his right quad that didn't allow him to finish the game is still an issue. We'll keep an eye on him as we progress throughout the week. Jericho Cotri has an abdominal strain that will limit him early portions of the week. Cam Hayward had an illness. We sent him home yesterday. Hopefully he'll be getting well and back to us and working here soon. Marcus Whedon has been out. He'll continue to be out. Got a couple guys in Birmingham for a variety of reasons. Marquise Pouncey is down there getting a checkup. And Levi Brown is down there getting a surgical procedure done. But that's the laundry list of injuries. Obviously, it could affect how we approach this week's work. We'll take a look at it in the morning and see what the practice availability is and adjust accordingly. Quickly moving to the Oakland Raiders. Obviously, their group that provides some concern for us for a lot of reasons, starting on offense. They got a quarterback that can create. They're coming off of a bye week. You got to acknowledge that. A team that's coming off of a bye week has an opportunity to take a look at themselves, make necessary changes, or explore new things. So it'll be an element of unknown in regards to that. Specifically talking about Pryor, he's a guy to deal with. I think they utilize his skill sets nicely in their offense, some zone read stuff, some design runs, some pocket movements. He's got nice touch on the ball, throwing a good deep ball, gotten behind some people. Really doing a nice job of staying within himself and working with the pieces that he has around him. His number one target is Moore, young talented wide out of Tennessee. They got a great rapport, particularly on possession downs and situational football. It looks like that's his first target. he's putting on some good, putting some good stuff on tape. Obviously, we had an opportunity to see him last year and got some exposure to him. They got some unique, multi-talented, big athletic bodies, whether it's Reese, a rookie from Tennessee, Rivera, their fullbacks, their tight ends. Shoot, Reese has even run the ball some. A couple weeks ago versus San Diego, he had quite a few carries. These guys can carry it. They can run. They can block. Their matchup problems. I think Reese was a former wideout at the University of Washington, so he has that type of skill set. But couple that with the fact that he's 250 pounds and can run. Some of those guys, they utilize them nicely in their pistol in terms of blocking people interior and on the perimeter, slipping them out into the flats, misdirection passes, and so forth. We got to be on the screws, and we also got to be sharp in terms of the people that we employ to cover these men. They got some matchup issues there. Obviously, McFadden is a quality runner. He rung the scoreboard up on us on a long run last year. We know what he's capable of. We got to be prepared and understand that every time the ball snaps, he's capable of going yard. He has that type of talent, pick, vision, and long speed. He's a quality player. Defensively, I really think they're coming into their own collectively under their defensive coordinator, Coach Tarver. Man, they got a multitude of things to prepare from, to prepare for. This dime 32 package that they have with three down linemen, two linebackers, and the rest DBs. They got a variety of zone coverages and pressures out of that thing. If you get behind the chains and it's 3rd and 7+, they dial a variety of things up, and it's a lot of fluid movement pre-snap. You got a lot of work to do in terms of sorting it out as the ball gets snapped, particularly if you're working in the gun and you got to locate the ball and deal with silent counts and things of that nature. It's created an awesome environment for them. I think the stats reflect that. There's a multitude of players that are registering sacks, linemen, linebackers, secondary. They've had a number of interceptions that you could describe in the same way. Up front, Houston is their guy. He's the bell cow, if you will. He's a quality player. He's got a hot motor. He's very physical, very strong. They move him around some. He plays in the three-point. He plays in the two-point. We got our hands full from a tackle standpoint, getting him blocked, and obviously the people that we choose to employ schematically to help those guys. I think the interesting story about these guys are the secondary acquisitions, starting with Woodson. He's a legendary player, Hall of Fame caliber player. He's already been AFC Defensive Player of the Week once this year. He's playing free safety. He's a ball hawk. He's physical. He blitzes well. He covers people. He's just a really good football player. Tracy Porter is a great coverage man outside at the cornerback spot and a savvy defender inside as well in the nickel. They also picked up Mike Jenkins, a top-quality veteran corner from Dallas. Those guys allow some of the things that I described from a package standpoint to go on with their coverage ability. They can stay close to people, and they're good at it. From a special team standpoint, obviously Janikowski is one of the best in the world at what he does and has been for a long time. This young punter they have, King, is a very talented guy. I think he's at about 49 yards per kick and really seems to have a live leg. And obviously, Ford is their return man, and not only in terms of what he does in the return game we need to be aware of, but he's a gadget guy offensively, a reverse guy, a wide receiver screen guy, things of that nature. He's got top flight speed. He's capable of really breaking you down with his speed and quicks. But it's a normal procedure for us. We got to get back to business and start the preparation process and get ourselves ready to play and work on our issues and focus on being the very best that we can be as we push forward towards Sunday. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mike has had troubles recently on the West Coast. Do you find that just coincidental, or do you think it has to do with maybe travel going there?
I haven't thought about it, to be honest with you.
Mike, injury front, Sean Spence, did he hurt a finger last week? What's his status? And Curtis Brown, was he injured for the game or just?
I chose not to play Curtis. I played Isaiah Green. Curtis is a top flight special teams player, but hadn't been playing that way over the last several weeks. I chose to play Isaiah. In regards to Sean, he did have a hand injury, which has been medically fixed. Not sure of his availability from a practice standpoint as we press into the week. Obviously, he's not a candidate to play at this juncture.
Mike, any update on your decision to release Isaac Redman?
I thought that Keon Wilson provided more flexibility for us as a teamer, to be quite honest with you. Isaac has been inactive the last several weeks. Keon has been on our team earlier. He was on our practice squad. He's a linebacker, viable special teams like body. And given the number of things that has transpired over the last several weeks with Jarvis missing work and others, just thought it was best to get him up on the 53 and available to us.
Any update on Jarvis?
Not to this point, no. We'll know, obviously, tomorrow morning in terms of his availability for practice.
Mike, will you use Emmanuel Sanders to return kickoffs primarily?
I hadn't gotten to that phase of the game yet. In terms of our kickoff return, obviously, I know what Emmanuel's capable of, and I'm not opposed to doing it, but I got to look at the schematics before I make those kind of determinations.
Mike, with the Wildcat and the preparation that you put in during the week, can you talk a little bit about how you go about implementing that in the game? Is it you and Todd, when you talk about it, is it down and distance situation? It is a time of the game?
You know, it's at our discretion. The reality is the plays themselves aren't new. The window dressing is. So it doesn't require a bunch of work from a practice standpoint in that regard. We've run the plays, and we've run the plays all year. Some of the formations and pre-snap movements, you know, is walk-through classroom type work. So it's not as an intensive an endeavor as it appears to be.
Coach, with the status of Gilbert, the uncertainty, would Guy Whipper have that opportunity to start Sunday?
I'm not going to, you know, make that decision until I have to. At this point, I'm not ready to count Marcus Gilbert out. Obviously, he wasn't able to finish the game on Sunday, but I'm optimistic about his availability, not only for this game, but for preparation leading up to it this week.
Did Whipper get many snaps at tackle leading up to the Baltimore game?
Oh, absolutely. The days where Marcus was limited or did not practice last week, Guy got the vast majority of those right tackle snaps in preparation for the game. He was prepared, and more importantly than that, he delivered above-the-line performance.
Mike Zoltan-Mesko, is he meeting your standards?
You know, it's been a mixed bag to this point. It's been inconsistent. Just about every game over the last three games, he's had what I call a junior varsity punt. Thankfully, we only punted once in the game from a collective standpoint. Obviously, negatively for him, he didn't get an opportunity to redeem himself from that punt. We need more consistency there.
They, before the bye, played a really good defense in Kansas City, obviously, but they had 9 sacks allowed, and I think there were 3 interceptions that had a lot to do with pressure. Did that have a lot to do with Terrell Pryor holding on the ball a lot, or is that just Kansas City doing the right things on defense? What were you able to glean there?
You know, there's a lot of things. Obviously, you start with Kansas City's playing really good football. They're ahead in football games, and that dictates how things unfold. They're playing really good defense. They're very multiple. Game situations and circumstances also lead to it. I heard that it was a very hostile environment, maybe the loudest crowd environment in history and so forth. So a lot of those things weigh into performances. I don't really kind of get into that. I just focus on what it is they do or attempt to do from a schematic standpoint and the personnel issue or the pedigree issues we might have and try to forecast what bets fits us from a matchup standpoint.
Mike, would it be premature to say that the offensive line is gelling even with all the injuries and the various people, or is that just a one-game example?
It would be premature to say that.
Yeah. You pleased with the way they played?
I was in that game, but, you know, largely, you know, how they do and how we do is going to be determined how we move forward.
I know you pointed out penalties, pre-snap penalties about the red zone earlier. What other consistent threat have you seen in these first few games that you need to improve on to make the red zone more efficient?
You know, that's the only one I want to identify.
Mike, talk about these wrinkles that you threw into the offense against the Ravens. Why throw them in, say, in this game as opposed to earlier in the season? Does it have anything to do with the record or just, you know?
Division play, you know, you play people twice during the course of the year. Sometimes that has an element of dictating how you attack them and the things you want them to work on. The reality is division opponents, you know you're going to play them twice a year, every year. So you allocate some time during the offseason over a 12-month calendar of things you like to try on them and so forth. It's just that, probably more than anything else.
Doing consistently, maybe against non-division opponents or just throughout?
Maybe. I'm not going to tip my hand, but maybe.
Mike, your quarters defense or your dime defense, whatever you want to call it, with Shamarco and Cortez, do you expect that? Is that becoming more because of the nature of the league, the base defense now, and you expect to see a lot of that with Oakland?
It's multi-purpose, not only because of the things that we face, but who it is we are, you know? Those guys are capable players, and really we're trying to get our best 11 on the field. And sometimes that's dictated by circumstance down the distance. Sometimes that's dictated by offensive personnel group. The reality is we better be multiple and diverse, and that's what we're trying to be.
Mike, are you sensing a little bit more confidence with your guys after the past 2 weeks?
You know, I never sensed a lack of confidence in our guys. I sensed some frustration, obviously, and rightfully so, based on how it was we're playing. But I can't say that I ever sensed a lack of confidence in our guys.
I got to the game, you brought up Le'Veon Bell's performance. Did you feel that he was slighted at all, and what was your thoughts on his performance?
You guys know I don't care what it is you say or write, but I realize that he is a young guy, and he may. So I felt the need to assure him that he's doing the right things a week ago, and he's doing what we're asking him to do in the manner in which we ask him to do it. I don't want him listening to the elevator music. I want him to listen to what matters, and that's the opinion of the people that evaluate him. So that's why I took the stance that I took last week in regards to some of the things written and said about how he plays, because I don't want him to pay attention to that.
Mike, John Dwyer seems to have brought a lot of energy. Are you seeing a different guy than you saw before he was cut? He seems to be kind of the fiery leader of the running back group now.
I'm not. He's always kind of been that guy, particularly on game day. He likes to play football.
Mike Spence may not always be indicative of the play of the D-line. What are your thoughts so far on the play of the defensive line?
They've been solid. And not only the frontline guys, but all the guys we've chosen to play in a variety of personnel packages like
we were talking about over there. We mix
some things up. I like what they're providing us. Obviously, we need more.
Mike, did they give you official word that on the Sanders kickoff return that they did review it? I mean, there was no announcement. What happened there?
There was no official word. What Bill told me, the white hat in stadium, that there was no mechanism in place to review it based on how the play was officiated.
As a scoring play, isn't that an automatic review?
Well, the fact that he called him out of bounds doesn't make it a scoring play. The fact that he ruled that the guy stepped out of bounds is not a scoring play because of that.
Did you get the proper time back on the clock there? Did that get looked
at? I have no idea. I was too pissed to notice.